Hello, everyone, and welcome to something I think is pretty cool. Dan Bach and myself, we got together under the guidance of Sammy Reed, and we decided that we wanted the Gilcast to continue. So what you're listening to right now, you either listen to this on the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast feed or the Roto Grinders Fantasy Football Podcast feed, but this is a simulcast of the Gilcast with myself, Sammy Reed, and Nate Noling. And boys, we're back. We made it. It's been a long time since we've been sitting here and ready to call each other fish for the next hour and recap what happened in the NFL in week one. Sammy, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing terrible. First off,
oh my God, you sound
terrible.
Yeah, I just spent like 4 days at this lake with like 12 buddies, and I smoked way too many cigarettes and didn't get any sleep. And also wrecked myself, like, just yelling curse words at the top of my lungs when I found out Antonio Brown went to the Patriots. Like, this is the last 24 hours have been the most tilting 24 hours of my life as a Steelers fan. Like, then we go in and we just get our asses handed to us by New England, and Juju gets hurt, and Mike Tomlin is just a completely inept fool who can't, like, handle a football game in real time, and I'm just beside myself. So here we are. This is perfect for the Gilcast.
Sammy's voice has finally caught up to his age. He sounds like an 80-year-old.
I'm like legit about to have – I need like one of those oxygen machines right now.
Well, as long as you keep pulling on your vape, it'll be fine, I'm sure.
I hear that's going well for people.
So – first of I let's just start it out. What was the most surprising thing that happened today, Nate? What was the thing that happened the most that you were just like, what on earth is going on?
It had to be how bad the Tampa Bay, like, Jameis couldn't do a thing. Yeah, Jameis couldn't.
What?
I mean, I know Jameis is bad, but I just think with an offense with Godwin and with Evans, he was just going to put up.
That wasn't the most surprising, but it was in the top five things where I was like, I did not expect that.
Okay, maybe it's not the most surprising. It was one of the most tilting.
Maybe it's that the Cleveland Browns put up 13 points and got straight mollywopped at home by the weak sauce Tennessee Titans.
It's the Brown. Like, what did we think was going to happen?
What was more surprising to me was Baker was bad. Nick Chubb got pulled off the field on third downs and on the goal line for Dontrell Hilliard. And at the end of the game, not even Dontrell Hilliard, he was losing snaps to Dernis Johnson. So that's where Nick Chubb's Cleveland Browns career is. And they sucked. Like, Baker was legit bad. Delanie Walker smashed them. What can you say? That was the most surprising thing, was that they put up no effort.
Yeah, I mean, Chubb still got 17 carries for 85 yards.
Chubb was the worst play of the day. He was the absolute lineup tanker of the day because he was super chalky and he was bad.
Yeah,
I still did all right.
That we mashed him in cash. That's great.
I sucked out in cash because I had the rest of my lineups smashed. So
how about Lamar Jackson getting a third of the way to his season prop, Davis?
I will say the Lamar Jackson game was pretty.
I cannot believe that was a bet that I was allowed to make with USL. It seems crazy. 15.5 touchdowns was the line. He threw five. He's got to throw 10 the rest of the year, and that's a winning bet. Do you think they'll pay out when he gets to 10, or am I gonna have to wait to the end of the year?
No, you gotta wait.
That's a tough scene. Nate, yep. do you right now, over under 100 Antonio Brown receptions, what are you taking?
I got to take the under.
Yeah, I think the under.
Edelman will still be. But, dude, Antonio, this is all going to work out.
So, for those of you.
Antonio is going to be fine.
For those of you who have not listened to the show, this is an NFL daily fantasy recap. Basically, a recap of the week that is told through the lens of looking through our cash game lineups on DraftKings, and we go through quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, flex, defense, and then we kind of just talk about the structure of the week. And generally, the person who scores the most points gets to start out by explaining their quarterback selection. But I'm hoping that I don't have the most points because I don't want to talk about what I did at quarterback. Nate, what did you score?
187.2.
Okay, you got me. Sammy, what did you score?
Wait, am I the fish of the day?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Sammy's the fish of the day.
Dude, yeah. this is so tilting, especially Sammy? Considering the lineup that Davis put into actual cash games in week one.
My lineup was not good.
Oh, my God. I scored 167.5 in cash.
Oh, yeah. I dunked on you. I windmilled on you.
Oh, God. How could this weekend go any worse?
Davis, you need to break down the lineup because – I knew all week Davis is like, oh, I think I'm going to play Carson Wentz. I think I'm going to be sharp. And then literally 3 minutes before lock, Kyler Murray and cash, LFG. And I just knew it. Like, I literally called this weeks ago.
I couldn't help myself. I had Carson Wentz in for 3 weeks in this, like, in my lineup that I posted to like, get head-to-heads and everything. I had Carson Wentz, and I knew, like, Dink was going to play Wentz, and I knew, like, all the sharp people were going to play Wentz. But a couple of my buddies that I talk about lineups with were like, Davis, if Kyler goes off and you don't have Kyler, you're going to for real life hate yourself. And you know what? That's a great point. And it's more fun. It's more fun to win with players you like. And I don't like Carson Wentz. He's stupid and ugly. And Kyler Murray is one of my favorite players of all time.
Dude, I legit texted you guys my lineup on like Wednesday or Thursday. And Davis goes, yeah, bro, that's like the lineup. Like 80% of sharps are going to have that exact lineup. Like for sure. And then you just did something completely out of control and off the wall. And you luck boxed so hard. Like it's just.
Here's the thing. I actually think if you consider quarterback scoring distributions,
Davis,
a position where you can
Davis, rant. Davis, stop. Kyler Murray was a bad play. You don't.
He wasn't a good
rookie quarter. Like it's just not the time. Not just
a rookie in his first NFL football game.
Davis, that's just not the time you do it when Carson Wentz is going up against. Like, there's so many other places to go. There were so many other places to go.
What you're saying is true for sure. But at the end of the day, Kyler Murray threw 55 passes.
Oh, my God.
I will say Kyler Murray led the league in air yards so far this week. I haven't pulled up the last game, but Kyler Murray had 570 air yards.
Don't worry. Ben Roethlisberger did not challenge him.
I mean, Kyler Murray literally had
how many fantasy points did Kyler have through like three quarters, Davis?
Oh, like two.
Oh my God,
dude! But he literally ended up throwing up 54 pass attempts at like an average depth of target of 10.5. I mean, that's just if he's going to continue to chuck like that.
So here's what happened. And this happens with air raid teams. Like this happened with the Eagles teams all the time that played so fast. When that offense that plays that fast is not picking up first downs, it's going to look so bad and so ugly because it's just going to be like a three and out in 13 seconds. And then the other team's going to have the ball for 6 minutes. And you're going to be like, what is going on here? Like you barely get to see these guys. But then when they get going, like, as the game was about to end and the Cardinals were going to go for the game-winning touchdown, the Lions had to call a timeout in a way they did not want to call a timeout. They wanted the time to expire, but they had to call a timeout because their defensive players were so tired. Like this system that Cliff runs is like the ideas behind it are real and potent. And I mean, I should have just played Carson Wentz.
The only reason I'm excited about the system is that David Johnson ended up leading all running backs with like 50 air yards this week. And if that's going to be DJ's workload every week, I want more.
It kind of all came on one play on the touchdown. It was like a 30 yard seam route and it was a beautiful route.
It doesn't matter. Give me one or two of those routes a week.
Yeah. Did you guys both play Wentz?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. We're not fish.
I mean, he was the best value. I guess the reason that I did not play Carson Wentz and why I did play Kyler was I was a little bit worried about just locking myself into between 16 and 22 points just because they were such a massive favorite, which is like total fear-based decision-making and not good at all.
And in cash games, you just, you want to go with the efficiency of just what you know you're going to get. Like, I think in, I don't know, this was an easy decision for me. I think looking at quarterbacks that maybe chuck more from like a volume standpoint makes sense in tournaments, but in cash games like that, I think it's totally fine to go with a guy like Wentz, who just has one of the softest, like, just, he should be a highly efficient quarterback in this spot.
Some other, like in the bigger games, the one other guy I saw that was owned, close to Wentz was Jameis Winston, who I did not consider at all. The only two guys I considered were Wentz or Kyler.
Yeah, I was not on team Jameis in cash. I mean, because Jameis is just prone to huge lapses of idiocy for long stretches of time.
And, we will talk about that later, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Were there any other quarterback performances that really surprised you? I would say Brissett was a little better than I thought he was going to be, like against a pretty good Chargers defense. I thought he was pretty good. And then obviously, I mean, Lamar, like Lamar is going to be, if Lamar is good at throwing and he's also going to run 10 plus times a game, like Lamar plays Baltimore or Lamar plays Arizona next week.
Yeah, that's going to be super fun. I mean, he only ended up rushing 3 times for 6 yards. And obviously,
they barely ran any plays on offense because they just scored from 60 yards out every time.
And you got to love the Lamar swag. Like, he comes into that press conference and he just says, not bad for a running back. Like, that's good. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Lamar's a lock next
week. Are we all going to have 100% Lamar next week?
You have to.
I hope
so. I mean, Mahomes. How about Mahomes just continuing to just do Mahomes things? I mean, what
brain
do you
have, 300? Brain his ankle, and Tyreek broke his sternum.
Shoulder, or yeah. Well, it was like his shoulder or something, but it pressed on his, whatever it happened. But his, but Mahomes put up, what, 333 at half?
Yeah.
I mean, casual. That's insane.
And Damian Williams was the clear passing down back. Like, LeSean McCoy was not out there at all. He had 7 targets in the passing game. He was second on the team behind Watkins. And he got the goal line work as well. I felt, as someone who clearly has a stance on Damian Williams, I thought that was about as good as have been, like, you could have expected, given that you knew LeSean McCoy was going to play.
Vindication for Davis. I'm excited for you. I'm happy for you. People came after you on Twitter.
Yeah, well, there, as always, anyone who disagrees with me is always wrong, and we, that much we know.
Let's do running backs.
Yeah, let's do it. I think we all three played the same guys.
Chubb, right? Cook, and Eckler.
Yeah. Sammy?
You guys, yes. Doing Carson. Austin Eckler was 9.2% owned.
So I wanna talk about this because going into the week, going into this morning, I literally was like, I like Carson, I like Eckler, and I thought Carson more for tournaments, Eckler and cash, because I thought Eckler's ownership would like triple Carson's in cash. Eckler was like, it was the opposite. Eckler was the GPP play, and Carson was the
Carson got all the pub. I bet Evan Silva was touting Chris Carson. I bet Levitan was touting Chris Carson. I bet all the people. I mean, and not that Carson wasn't a good play. I personally was never going to play him because I did not include 7 targets out of 20 passing attempts in my range of outcomes for Chris Carson.
You haven't been listening to the coach speak in the offseason?
Yeah, I mean, Sammy, you were the one who was more bullish on Carson than Nate and I. Was like, did like, and my whole thing was, I was like, they might throw 20 passes, and they threw 20 passes, and he still caught 6 of them.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it was just one of those deals where I thought he was a pretty big favorite to get the bonus. He ended up not getting it, but they just talked about his receiving ability, saying he was like one of the best pass catching backs on the whole roster and all this stuff. And you know, when you're like almost a 10-point home favorite against the Bengals, I just thought this was definitely a smash spot. A lot of people did. I'm shocked that Austin Eckler, people didn't like gravitate toward this. It's like at the beginning of the week,
Justin, like 2 weeks, bro.
What?
Justin Jackson. You got to be afraid of Justin Jackson,
bro. I mean, when I was like making my lineup a week and a half ago, it was like, okay, Tony Pollard's getting jammed in and Eckler's getting jammed in. Like they were just like the two jams, and then obviously Zeke came back. But it was like I never ever moved off of Eckler. You guys felt the same way. I'm not quite sure why the public didn't grab it.
I wish that I would have felt as strongly about Eckler as I did about Pollard, though. Because I like I said I was gonna lock Pollard in like 500 GPP lineups. Think about how rich Think about how rich I'd be if I just would have locked Eckler in every tournament that I played today.
Well, I actually faded Eckler in tournaments and went Carson in tournament, and I was just backwards. Like,
I don't think that is like how many tournament lineups?
20 something. Oh, I mean, okay. I didn't play 150 or anything.
Well, I was going to say, like, so I made like 300 lineups, and like, the way I do that is just limit percentage owned per lineup instead of just like flat fading dudes who are chalk, just like set an own cap of like 120.
Well, I mean, if for me, like when I'm building tournament lineups, if I look at two guys like a Carson and Eckler and they have such a close projection overall, like it's totally easy for me to just swap out every Eckler lineup with Carson and just lock Carson in all those lineups.
I also only fade running backs that I think are like bad chalk. If Derrick Henry was ever going to be like 30% owned, that would be a guy I would just not play at all. But I wasn't going to fade Carson in tournaments today.
Can we get into Bell's workload a little bit? Because I think Bell's workload should be discussed. Bell literally had 17 rushing attempts.
He's Steelers Bell. So if you have Ty Montgomery on your targets. Seasonal team, that insta cut. That dude, that like everything they said about him getting work or like gadget, like it's gone. It's just all Bell.
I believe Bell, that somebody said he played every single snap.
He played every single snap, and in the first half, they ran 25 plays, and he got a carry or a target on 14 of those 25 plays in the first half. And then he caught a touch. He scored a touchdown, and then he caught a 2-point conversion on like a full on like Marvin Harrison high point in the back corner. It was unreal. Kind of forgot how good he was.
Yeah, I mean, Bell looked Bell again, and then the workload was there too. So, I mean, Bell is right up there to me with like the David Johnson tier guys, and so I think it's going to be interesting what we do with Bell the rest of the season now, because we get McCaffrey, Saquon, and then other guys.
The Giants I think are just too bad for Barkley to be a cash play. Can you imagine playing him knowing he's only going to get three quarters? Because they were only down 22 and they had Gallman in. They're going to be down 22 a lot more other times this year.
Yeah, it's clearly, I mean, I think CMC is just like clearly the guy. Yeah,
clearly the number one.
Smashes in all situations at all times. Like, he's completely game script immune. So we were real sharp for playing Eckler. Obviously, everyone played Dalvin Cook. He was like almost 75% owned.
He was the highest owned player across the board.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We all played Nick Chubb. Are we fish for doing that?
Think about differently this could have gone. So if he scores that goal line touchdown instead of Dontrell Hilliard, that gets him to 17. And then we're talking at that point, then we're talking about just needing Baker to throw like one less interception. And he probably ekes out another 2 points, whether it be via a pass or, you know, another 14 yard run or whatever. I will say it's just more instructive to the point of when there's not 100% certainty and the market is treating it like there's 100% certainty, there's probably a good – like he would have been the one to fade in tournaments, not Cook, I think, or Carson.
I don't know. I think the Cook thing seems like a slam dunk now, but like Cook is on an offense that we projected to be just a run heavy offense that doesn't pass and like has just overall concerns about their efficiency.
They were home favorites, so that's the spot to do it, right?
But I'm just saying, like, a Chubb moving forward, like, I don't know. I just think Chubb for me has so much more like target upside, and then just like, I don't know. I didn't see this Hilliard usage coming, so I just thought Chubb was like a significantly better.
I mean, I guess I didn't see that Hilliard usage coming, but like he was a guy I like drafted in the 18th round of the Draft Best Ball Championship and stuff. Like, he was a guy I thought was going to be on the field. I didn't, and he only got one carry and two targets. So it's not like, you know, it's not like he was Chris Thompson all of a sudden or anything. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, maybe Chubb just ended up – I mean, they ended up getting down so far that it kind of limited Chubb. But it's almost like going into the week, why was Chubb – forget about price. Like, why was Chubb a better play or a different play than Carson? Just because we think Chubb's really talented?
Well, I also expected way more workload for him. Yeah.
Right. And then just add in the fact that there was whatever, like almost $1,000 difference of salary. Or like 700,
what,
something like
that. What would you have done with the 1,000? I think that's the other thing is that like every play was so cheap. It's like, what would you really have done?
Yeah, that's kind of what I like ended up thinking is, wow, I really like everything I've got here. I don't really want to change it. But yeah, it was, I don't know. I think that when we think about Cleveland, we see all the talent they have, but a talented team doesn't necessarily mean a good team. And the fact that Tennessee went in there and whooped the rat snot out of them, just like, we need to reevaluate what we think about Cleveland. Like, it might be in 3 weeks we're like, oh, it was just a blip. They're still coming together. But, I mean, this was a significant setback if you're a Browns truther.
Yeah.
Who do they play next week? They play at the Jets. I'll probably still have Chubb.
No. No.
Yeah.
I mean,
maybe,
I think
maybe,
I will.
Not, maybe not in cash, but I'll think he's like a good tournament play.
Every reason I went with Chubb before the game started today, nothing changed going out of it other than just like the offense had an inefficient game.
No, but that should matter though. Running backs fantasy points is super correlated to offensive efficiency that they're in. So that should matter to you.
But I don't think what we saw from like Cleveland was necessarily like significant of them moving forward. Yeah, it's not like
we only get 16 of these games, so it's like you can't say like, oh, super small sample size. Like it, like you have to. Some of it is signal for sure, and whether they can solve some of the things, I don't like. I mean, a big thing was Baker was just not very good.
I'm much more concerned about like Steelers exposure than I am versus like Cleveland exposure.
Oh, Steelers, how dare you!
Like Steelers exposure, I'd be much more scared about moving forward than Cleveland exposure. I will say the Cleveland's offensive line was horrendous, but other than that, I think I still believe there's enough talent on Cleveland to still be good.
Yeah. All right. I mean, I think
wide receivers.
Yeah. So you went Wentz or you went Kyler, and then you did the same thing as us with Chubb, Cook, Eckler.
Yeah.
So what did you do with your extra salary?
Oh man. So this is what I did that was bad.
Outside of playing a rookie QB in his first start on week one?
I mean, we had him projected for like 0.8 less fantasy points than Carson Wentz, so it was not really that big of a deal. I played
– such a suck up. This podcast could have been just rip on Davis right for an hour because of that fourth quarter.
Yeah, like can you imagine how – like I wouldn't have even wanted to do this show, honestly. I would have just been like, dude, you guys recorded. I'm tired, bro.
Dude, for that timeout.
People have been robbed, I think. Like if that game just ends in the fourth quarter instead of like the comeback and overtime, we would just be roasting you right now.
You got the bonus in overtime too.
I know. You run just so pure. This is amazing.
Yeah. So what I did at wide receiver was I played Dede Westbrook, which everyone did. I played Chris Godwin, who was pretty chalky, though after watching that game, I feel bad about it just because Jameis is so bad. But where I went different from everyone else was instead of playing Tyler Lockett, I played Brandon Cooks. And my logic for not wanting to play Tyler Lockett was this team hates the forward pass. They really just abhor it. And Tyler Lockett got two targets, and one of them happened to go for a 44-yard touchdown, which is fine. I had Tyler Lockett in tournaments, so it wasn't even bad for me. It was like actually probably a net good for me that he caught that touchdown. But obviously Brandon Cooks did not have a good game, which is sort of weird for them to score 30 points on the road and for Brandon Cooks to not have a good game. But
They just have so many weapons, and I don't think that any of their weapons are that consistent. You know what I mean?
I did not have Cup down for just like a big smash in his first game back, and that's what happened.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's one of these deals with Lockett where, you know, this is a team that wants to run. You know, we talked about this early in the week when I told you guys I like Lockett, and you're like, dude, you can't play him in cash. You know, this is just a situation where if they get up on the Bengals, which they should, they are just going to grind and grind away.
And they didn't even get up, and they still grinded away. They didn't even get up, and they still were just like, whatever, dude. And I mean, so this is the argument that I was having with Dink about not playing Lockett. And obviously, Drew Dinkmeyer's much smarter than me. But
yeah, he only won like $100K today. No big deal.
He only won $100K.
meat sauce.
So basically he was like, so for you to say you don't want to play Lockett, you have to think that like DK Metcalf, Rashad Penny, Will Disley, Nick Bennett, you have to think all those guys can steal targets. And basically my argument was, this is Seattle. I actually do think those guys can steal targets because I want your input on this. Like, doesn't it just feel like Seattle's target distribution sometimes is completely random? Outside of Doug Baldwin. Doug Baldwin was, like, always easy money there. But outside of Doug Baldwin, doesn't it feel like their target distribution week to week is kind of random?
Yeah, I would say it's less concentrated than other offenses. And that's kind of part of Russell Wilson's skill set, is that he doesn't lock onto a receiver. He scrambles a little bit differently. And so, like, I would say if we were, like, talking with Seattle's front office, they would actually say that's, like, one of their strengths as an offense, and that Doug Baldwin actually made them weaker in that when Russell Wilson would make bad decisions, a lot of times it was targeting Doug Baldwin. So I get what you're saying about Seattle, and I played Lockett too, and I felt stupid about it halfway through the game because I just realized, like, and I think Minnesota, we also have to be careful with Thielen and Diggs. Because I played Thielen.
So that's the other thing, is a lot of the high stakes people played Thielen. Yep. I wanted no, and he scored a touchdown. Yeah. So whatever, good for you.
Yeah, I played Thielen and got lucky. But halfway through the games, I realized, like, you need to be very careful about having Seattle and Minnesota wide receiver exposure, just because there are literally games where they're going to throw 15 or 20 times, and it's
or 10 times.
Minnesota threw 10 times, and one of them was a throwaway. Yeah. So 9 targets.
Thielen just, like, ran so pure to get where he got to.
He had 3 targets, and he scored a touchdown on a missed tackle.
And now I do believe, like, 10 is an anomaly. But, like, I don't think 15 to 20 is an anomaly. Like, we have to be able to expect that in a range of outcomes.
Don't you think 10 is more likely than 40, though?
Yeah, and I think you have to expect that in a range of outcomes.
You can't be playing guys on that offense in cash if you think 10 is more likely than 40.
So, like, I felt really dumb about my Thielen play and my Lockett play. And I realized, like, halfway through these games, this could have gone a lot different for me.
Yeah,
Thielen
Lockett was the same salary as Godwin Cooks, right?
Pretty much,
6,200, 6,800, and then 6,000, 6,800. Yeah, that's exactly the same salary.
But I realized halfway through the day, I was like, I should not have had this much exposure to teams that don't want to pass the ball. Like, it's just too much macro, like, volatility. Like, yeah, there was just too much downside. Even though individually, I love Lockett. Individually, I love Thielen. Like, they're good, but, like, yeah. I think it was
Lockett. Here's the other thing. I think Lockett is going to be a great tournament play this season, but part of the reason we really liked him is because we hate every other pass-catching option that Seattle has. We just look at their roster.
Metcalf looks like he's the dude, though. Like, dude, he just looked.
Yeah, he got a ton of looks. To go.
He got deep targets. He got end zone targets. Like, it just looks like their offense is built around DK Metcalf being the number one dude. Like, he's a guy. Like, I'll be adding him if he's on the wire in, like, a couple, like, in my 12 team leagues or whatever. Like, I'm definitely gonna add him.
You guys should have just played Julio Jones like I did.
Yeah. So this was the other route. Did you play Julio Marvin Jones? Or
no.
You played Hunter Henry at tight end?
Yeah. Yeah, I played Julio, Godwin, Didi, and then Hunter Henry at tight end.
Yeah, so I played Nate and I both spent up at tight end, though. I think we played –
You played Kelce, I went Kittle.
No, I played Kittle too.
Oh, yeah, I went Kittle. I'm a massive Kittle fan. Yeah, so I went –
The Daily Roto projections had him just straight up more fantasy points. So
than Kelce?
Yeah. Because that game – we had that game projected for so many plays.
Yeah.
Or maybe, honestly, that was just on my settings. I had so many, like, adjustments that I'd made. It might not have been the raw one. So I should just say I had Kittle projected for more raw fantasy points. So, Sammy, how did Julio's game go?
You know, he did Julio Jones things. He got 11 targets. He was actually pretty massively inefficient. He ended up with 6 for 31 and luck boxed a touchdown.
If you were like literally after a minute had gone off and it was like the back shoulder and the defender was just like, we're winning. I don't want to get the defensive pass interference here. So I'm just going to let it go. Like it was abysmal.
I'm not going to lie to you guys. I was definitely tilting my balls off. I'm like, what did I spend up for Julio Jones? He never scores touchdowns. Matt Ryan is a blunder and a fool. They're, like, facing this great defense on the road. I was super mad at myself. And then, you know, he caught the touchdown. I'm like, you know what? I'm just hella sharp. Like Julio Jones, like massive target share. And like, I'm such a genius.
Best floor. Yeah. Oh, dude. Gotta get that. So actually the biggest thing while we're on this game, the biggest thing I noticed about that game is Devonta Freeman is done.
Dust. Like,
dust.
You can just permanently nuke that guy from any lineup.
Ito got a ton of looks.
Yeah,
he was out there.
Six carries and one target, but he played more.
He was out there a ton, yeah. I couldn't believe it.
And Brian Hill was just straight up inactive.
Which is huge for Ito Smith, I think.
Yeah. Like, I mean, Ito Smith
if you're
is
a seasonal
like,
guy. Yeah.
He's like my second most owned dude other than Malcolm Brown. So
big,
we didn't
take for Malcolm Brown truthers.
Yeah,
take your victory lap.
Bit about how all offseason I just told you dudes to draft Malcolm Brown and that Malcolm Brown was the truth. And Malcolm Brown is already stacking touchdowns for your best ball teams. And Todd Gurley hasn't even gotten hurt yet. Like wait for Todd Gurley to actually get hurt. Like wait for his knees to take a hit. Like he barely played. Oh dude.
Hey Davis, great $35 Joe Mixon buy for our Superflex team. I'd rather you spend $35 on Malcolm Brown.
Hey, at least he didn't limp off with an ankle injury.
Why would you partner with him?
Hey, but we did get the big Evan Ingram smash, and we have a Tyrell Williams smash incoming on Monday night as well.
That's hot. I'm looking forward
and,
to
it. And huge, huge Marcus Mariota game.
I mean, that was just a given. We knew Mariota was going to smash, of course.
Yeah, it's just, dude, come on. Nate, I'm sharp. That's why he partnered with me. And sure, we got our survivor, too.
Seattle.
Yep, won that one by a point. You know, it's just such an easy game.
Really so bad to take the most popular survivor team. It's like worst game theory of all time. It's so bad. We really should have taken Dallas. Dallas was the right game theory play.
Dallas is going to win like 14 games this year. I mean, we saw it today.
16 per the data, I think.
I mean, with Jason Garrett out of there calling plays and Gallup just being a man and they have Amari Cooper. That team is a beast. They're super good. I know they were just playing the Giants, but they looked unstoppable.
I mean, to me, I actually think of all the things that happened, that's like the biggest revelation is that the Cowboys are going to enter that tier of like Rams, Chiefs, like teams like that, where they can have like five or six fantasy relevant players. Like we laugh, but like they had two tight ends score a touchdown. Randall Cobb looked great. Michael Gallup looked great. Amari Cooper looked great. They had 30 touches just distributed between both of the running backs, and Dak was amazing. Like there are a lot of different ways that Dallas can score fantasy points.
Yeah, Dak looked really good.
That's who I played at defense.
Cowboys.
Yeah, I think Philly was kind of the chalk. I don't know what they were owned. The Cowboys were only 2% owned.
I think the Ravens were the chalk.
Oh.
Yeah, the Ravens were the high chalk, yeah.
Yeah, I could see that.
I just went 49ers because they were cheapest and got totally lucky on this. I mean, they were cheap. They were going up against Winston, who throws a lot, and I thought it was just a
pew pew. Me too, buddy.
And it just worked out.
Oh my! This is why you guys scored more points than me, because you just luck smashed into two defensive touchdowns on the road. Like,
Sammy, let me tell you something. There's nothing better than when your fantasy day is just going off the rails, and the only thing that can save you is your defense, and then the defense somehow does it. It is really amazing.
You guys make me so mad. You guys are such fish. Like that's just so egregious. I mean, they're not a bad play because Winston's bad. I get it. And Tampa's bad.
We didn't talk about – well, no, playing a road defense in general is not playing – well, when they're that
Winston.
Cheap. Yeah, no, it's
he literally throws more interceptions than anybody.
Yeah, he does. We need to talk about the Godwin thing, though, before we move on. People may have gotten a bit overexcited about Chris Godwin being a cash play at 6,200. That might have been – like, it just might have been a little much, a little too
– The group think on week one is always incredibly strong.
Well, it's like – I think – so I think he projected well. Like, his median – Like, so Chris Godwin's median projection is going to be very good, but that's because his 90th percentile projection is insane. Like, but like his floor is so low. Like, does that make sense? Like his range of outcomes is so wide.
Well, he was just like, going to be,
he was kind of not involved except for like that one drive where he caught like a 28-yard first down and then got the touchdown. And it's like, that's all he did the whole game.
Well,
we're all excited because we're like, oh, Bruce Arians, Larry Fitzgerald role, like, it's on.
I mean, he did play that role. Jameis just couldn't complete a pass.
Yeah.
It was so bad.
I still like him. I mean, he still led the team in targets. Rashad Perriman came in and, like, cucked a bunch of them. And
those were, like, very early on. They tried that out in the first quarter, and it was done. He didn't get another target. He didn't get a target in the second half.
I think the thing about Godwin is almost any projection system you look at, like when you look at Godwin's mean projection, it's built up a lot from just the touchdown expectation in that projection. And when you break it out,
well, and you got a super high yards per target too. So his volume projection can be lower than a lot of other guys priced around it, but he'll have more fantasy points because his yards per target is high.
But I mean, when you look at what percentage of his actual mean projection is built up from just a touchdown compared to the guys around him who can actually hit their mean projection without hitting a touchdown, it's a lot scarier.
So yeah, think of Boyd in that sense, mm-hmm. right? Boyd.
Or Robert Woods, or like, I mean, you look at these guys he's priced around and you go, oh man, how did I play a guy who's so touchdown dependent when there's guys like Boyd who's right there, there's guys like even a DJ Moore, Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods. There's guys all around him that just have such a lower – even Cooks. I mean, Cooks can get there without getting a touchdown. So, I don't know. I think it's a little bit risky when you have a guy who has that high of a touchdown dependency in cash at 6-2.
Not when they get the touchdown, though. It's not risky when they bink, Nate.
I want you guys to know that O.J. Howard had two solo tackles in this game. That's how bad Jameis Winston was.
O.J. Howard had an egregious fumble, too.
I love tight ends fumbling. That's great.
The most tilting part about today was the fact that Kittle had two touchdowns that were returned on the dumbest thing.
The second one, I mean, the first one was a hold. Like, whatever. Yeah,
but the second
everyone just gets touchdowns called back by holds. But the second one, an illegal formation –
Literally, the offensive lineman was like a half an inch, and it was like, this is.
He bowled over, I don't know if it was a safety or a linebacker, but he catches the pass in the middle of the field and just destroys whoever was covering him and just walks into the end zone.
Because that's what Kittle does. I mean, he literally yak is insane for.
Do we want to talk about the fact that Dante Pettis played two snaps and people spent the whole offseason drafting him at like 80, like ADP of like 75?
We probably should. that was pretty bad. That's pretty fishy.
Dude, he was playing behind Richie James. He was playing behind Kendrick Bourne.
Debo Samuel.
Like, this is where Dante Pettis's career is.
Debo Samuel.
You guys, I have a pretty bad admission to let you guys in on. I had a lot of Jimmy Garoppolo in GPPs.
Yeah, I did.
I did too.
Him, Winston, and Kyler probably made up 40-50% of my quarterback ownership.
I had some Josh Allen too. I had some Josh Allen, John Brown stacks.
Oh, I mean, yeah. Unless you were a complete fish, you had some John Brown in your life.
I had a couple teams that could have been live to win decent money because I was so big on Dak and Gallup, but I had Brandon Cooks and like I just had so much Brandon Cooks.
Why were you so pumped on Brandon Cooks?
He's just a good he's like a dude who can score 30 any week, and he was literally like 1% owned. Mm-hmm. Same thing as John Brown, really. Just mm-hmm. better offense.
At $5,000 more.
Close. $5,000 yeah. Close to $5,000 more.
Yeah,
game
he's the same thing as this receiver that's $4,000, David says.
He's basically John Brown.
Basically.
Well, he gets a lot more targets than John Brown does. Oh, you guys are tilting me so hard.
What were some big takeaways for you guys from this week? Like overarching themes that you think are like actionable moving forward?
I think the biggest thing is we got I think last year we got really lucky with some running back volume that people believe that like these mid-tier running backs are like safe, secure guys. And I think we could go through and talk more and more about just these mid-tier running backs are not a good place to allocate your salary. I think you either need to be heavily overweighted on guys like Christian McCaffrey, guys like Le'Veon Bell, guys like DJ, guys like, you know, Saquon, that top tier, or these guys who pop like an Eckler into that. But I think these like middling guys like the Devonta Freemans of the world or the I don't know. There's just that middle tier that I think we got too comfortable with in cash games last year that I think this year.
Gus Edwards, a very good. That was the dude I played in cash. Like I think we all played in cash at least once, and he literally got two targets all year.
Guys like Kerryon Johnson, guys like Tevin.
Well, Kerryon is not a thing in cash at all.
Yeah,
I don't even know about tournaments really. If he wasn't gonna get 30 in a game against Arizona in this game, then when is he ever gonna get 30?
Yeah, he had like 62 total yards and two targets.
But I mean, literally, how many people?
Third round pick.
Luckily, like the Bears weren't on the main slate, but I bet David Montgomery would have been like 20% owning.
Oh God!
Because
that's a damn shame that he was not on the main slate.
Wow, I could have been rich, Nate.
Yeah. There were people who played Kerryon. There were people who played guys like Miles Sanders and all these like middling guys that you're just like, that's not where you need to allocate your salary from running back perspective. So that's all. That was my biggest takeaway.
I learned DJ Shark is going to just like smash for all my dynasty teams. That's going to be really good for me personally.
Congratulations. I think the Cowboys thing is really worth.
Yeah, the Cowboys thing is so big.
Yeah. The Cowboys thing, and on the flip side, the Browns thing, we'll see if that's a team that like coalesces as time goes on. I'm not like fully out on the Browns, but I mean, shoot, it's more than like having a couple big name guys on your offense to like make a team go. And if I'm a huge Baker Mayfield fan. I'm a big believer. But this was a really god-awful performance in a spot where they really should have smashed.
I haven't looked at any of the PFF grades, but I'm guessing their offensive line had one of the worst. It was
brutal. I bet Kyler has the worst of them all. The two interceptions, Nate, were so bad. They were like Kevin Hogan interceptions. Like they were just not pro caliber. I guess another takeaway I have is Josh Gordon, bro, coming in week one, ready to go.
I captained him in all the showdown.
Yeah, I didn't have a good showdown because obviously I had too much Smith-Schuster and Ben Roethlisberger.
You're the captain.
Yeah, I mean I'm always gonna, but I think. So this is a good takeaway. What do you guys think Antonio Brown does to the market shares of the passing game in New England? Because I kind of have my opinion, and I'm wondering if yours aligns with me.
I don't think he really hurts Gordon much. I think
that was my opinion too. So I think it's more likely to cut out of Amendola and James White and whatever
tight end. Amendola's not there.
Oh, yeah, same.
I think he takes some away from guys like Dorsett and guys like Edelman, but not anything from Gordon. I think Gordon's role is pretty clear cut on that team.
I'm excited for Antonio Brown to like become Chad Ochocinco on the Patriots and just become like a lost man, like somewhere between Ochocinco and Chris Hogan. And Josh Gordon is just like the clear number one alpha, and it's lit.
I mean, Josh Gordon is like better than Antonio Brown.
That is.
They're completely different. They basically play different positions. They're not even the same, like.
I just wanted to see which one of you would get triggered. I didn't know if it would be Sammy or if it would be.
No, it's not me. It's not me at all. Like,
I love Josh Gordon.
Yeah, Josh Gordon is, like, certifiably more sane than Antonio Brown. Like, that's just a fact.
I don't know, dude. I'm pretty sure all of that Antonio Brown stuff was a complete ruse. And that
if you believe the Mort report at all, Mort report literally says that he had paid social media people to make that video for him over the past couple weeks. It was all calculated.
Couldn't the Raiders have just kept him on the reserve NFI list and just made him sit for the whole year?
They could have, but it was a whole calculated thing for him to get them to release. Like, he got exactly what he wanted.
Yeah, you just think he's like the sharpest long conner in the history of
just, I don't think it's that hard to con Mike Mayock and John Gruden.
I mean, literally, Mortensen tweeted out this morning, Brown also sought out advice from social media consultants for his ideas on how he could accelerate the release. Like, this was a plan.
Is there a future front office combo in football than Mayock and Gruden?
Oh, I'm sure. Like, what do the Bengals have going on? Who's the Bengals GM? It's got to be some complete nitwit.
Yeah.
The Bengals are like,
well, we wouldn't be saying that if they had knocked us out of Survivor today. So.
Yeah. Well, the Bengals have this. They're this horrible organization of like they just always hire retreads and then they bring back guys that they get cut from other teams that used to play for them. Okay, two injuries though. Tevin Coleman left with an ankle thing, and then Joe Mixon got hurt.
Giovanni's back in our lives.
Yeah, Gio. But I mean, this is a classic fantasy football situation. Whatever the starting running back for the Bengals is gets hurt. How much fab are you blowing on Gio? I'm probably like 40% if Mixon. I mean, if Mixon's going to miss 2 weeks, I would do 40.
This is a severe TJ Yeldon situation for Davis.
Oh, man. Just wait until Singletary and Gore and Marcus Murphy and Senarese Perry all get hurt. It's going to be big TJ Yeldon season.
It's going to be huge for your brand.
I just don't understand. Like, the San Francisco backfield is so confusing to me. It doesn't really matter to me what happened with Tevin. Like, there's like Breeze. I don't know
about it.
We're just gonna smash Mostert into our GPP lineups, like, and win them all.
I thought Breida was gonna be like, and then when Coleman went down, Breida didn't get
evaluated for a concussion and didn't come back until late in the fourth quarter.
Breida?
Yeah.
Oh, I must have missed that.
Yeah, he was out for like two quarters or a quarter at least.
So that Mostert stuff is just because Breida was gone?
Well, no, the Mostert stuff is because Shanahan's going to use two guys regardless.
Yeah.
And they like Mostert, but this is so weird to say, but he's literally their best special teams player. So they like that's why he's always on the team regardless, but they like him. And also there's probably like some office politics at work there where they're like, you're literally the goat at this, so we need to keep you happy and give you carries every once in a while, and this was like a good opportunity to do it while they were winning.
Yeah.
I have no response to that.
These are real things, dude. People don't like to think about football teams this way, but there's stuff like that going on.
Now, do you factor that into your algorithm?
I don't factor that into my algorithm, but when looking for possible reasons for playing time, stuff like that exists.
Davis just still thought Amendola was on the Patriots, so I'm not really sure.
What's the difference between Danny Amendola and Julian Edelman?
Yeah,
just a Hall of Famer. I mean, seriously?
Just a little bit of attitude.
Yeah.
No, they're the same. They're the same player. Feels like Danny Amendola's been in the league for like 20 years at this point. He played for the St. Louis Rams.
and then 1 year we all drafted him in like the fifth round because we thought he was going to catch 100 balls with the Patriots, and then we did the same thing with Chris Hogan.
Yeah,
and we'll do the same thing with Antonio Brown.
Did the same thing with Rex Burkhead.
I mean, who was actually like good and
Burkhead looked lit.
Yeah, who's now in the role that he was supposed to be in last year?
Right.
Burkhead looked good tonight.
Tough scene, boys. All right, what are we most looking forward to next week? I'm that Baltimore Arizona game. It should be. What do you think the total is going to be for Baltimore Arizona? Like, are the odds makers going to weigh Baltimore defense or total plays ran more?
Nah, it'll be under 50.
Oh, that's lame.
Sorry. Well,
Lamar Jackson got priced up to 6,700 next week. He's the second most expensive QB.
Wow.
Yikes.
I'm looking forward to the New England Patriots against the Dolphins team that allowed 59 points to the Ravens, and they're gonna have Antonio Brown. Like, right, that is just, we're gonna smash Patriots.
Brady is 64. Sony is 62, James White's 51, Rex Burkhead's 38, Antonio Brown 7K, Edelman 6.9, Josh Gordon 5.8.
5.8?
Yeah.
Oh, heavens to Murgatroyd. This is great.
That might be like a 75% play.
Grief, are you for real? See what Hollywood Brown did to those guys?
Hollywood Brown. This is another crazy thing. Marquise Brown played like 15 snaps.
Like 12, bro.
He had 5 targets and 2 touchdowns on like, I mean, granted, the whole offense didn't play that many snaps. Also, Justice Hill got a carry near the goal line in the first quarter, and then it was all Gus Edwards in the second half, and I can't tell if that's good or bad.
Oh, did Head Chopper play Marquise Brown in his $1 million win? We should say congratulations to Chop.
Yeah,
sick little 7-figure score, not too shabby for week 1.
Little Millie Bink. He'll probably have a problem.
That's super hot, bro. Congrats.
I actually don't. I don't have his team pulled up. I know Godwin was on his team.
Well, easy game.
He had the D-Jax touchdown. I assume he probably had Hollywood Brown and Lamar Jackson.
Gosh. That's just purity. 12 snaps, like 150 yards and 2 touchdowns for Lamar Jackson.
A lot of fantasy points per snap, I think. Nate, do you have any other observations for this upcoming week now that you're looking at this?
I'm looking at prices now. I mean, I don't really love Cincinnati exposure, but I will say Ross is 4-6 and was clearly
– led them in targets, yeah, more than yeah. Boyd.
And I think when you look at who he's priced around, like I think Ross could be a value.
They did not play with Gio Bernard's price.
Yeah, at all. So
5,300 at home. He will be a lock if Mixon does not play.
Yeah, because, I'm heavily looking forward to the 1 reception 9-yard game from John Ross next week.
Yeah. You know who Cincinnati's backup running back is now, because both the dudes they drafted got hurt?
Is it Jeremy Hill? Is he back?
It's Samaje Perine.
Perine from the
hello, my old friend.
Yeah.
Sammy, did you see your boy AP had a healthy inactive today?
Hey, look, that probably saved me money.
Olds have to stick together, Nate.
Literally, what did Gruden say? If I need a guy to run 55
times. If we're gonna run out of the I formation 55 times, I'll make him active.
How why would you throw the shade at this What could he have possibly done in the locker room to deserve that shade? Like, you've already made him a healthy and active.
Dude, because he's like a bankrupt child beater. That's why. Like, I'm never playing that fool again.
He literally says he's still playing because he's like $8 million in debt. That's why he's on the roster. So this is weird. Damian Williams is less expensive at Oakland than he was this week. I will play him again.
Nice.
He had 7 targets in the passing game. I'm in on that. The game that everyone's going to stack, though, is New Orleans and Los Angeles, and they're already starting to do it with Gurley bringing his price down. Malcolm Brown is 4,100. Brandon Cooks got a little price decrease, 6,300. Revenge game against his old team.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
What is it with you and Cooks?
Nate, dude, come on.
Nate, he can score 30 DK points at any time.
He is in terms of like our projection stuff, he is like one of the highest like pure like yards per target of any player. Like with all the math that Leone has done, he's like one of the most efficient players in the NFL when you account for like team and environment and everything. So that's where it comes from. That's why I like him so much. Tyler Higbee played like the whole game for the Rams and had 5 targets after that extension and scored a touchdown. I just thought that was kind of interesting. They played 10 personnel a bunch more though. They played Josh Reynolds more today than normal.
Yeah, I saw a lot of Reynolds. That was really interesting. Cooper Kupp, 10 targets.
13 for Robert Woods.
But you still want Cooks in that offense.
We touted a 1-game sample. It's not indicative of a 16-game sample.
Okay.
Cooks led the team in targets last year, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, you mean when Kupp was, like, not on the field because he had –
I mean, even if you just did it on, I mean, I could be wrong. It could have been Woods, but I'll look right now.
Yeah, you gotta sort by when Cup was out and then factor in that Josh Reynolds heavy target share.
Yeah, so Woods had 86 receptions, Cooks had 80, Woods had 6 touchdowns, Cooks had 5, and they were within 1 yard of each other in yards per game, Woods and Cooks. They're like the same dude.
Yeah, but this upcoming week, there is no revenge game narrative for Woods. So.
And that's where Nate's model loses to the sharps like you and I, Sammy. And that's why he wants to bet the over on Antonio Brown when Antonio Brown is full on staging a mental breakdown in front of everyone's face. And Nate's just like, dude, you guys can't pay attention to this stuff. It's all noise.
What, like, this frostbite stuff, this helmet, what if all of this is just theater? Like, none of it's real.
None of it's real. No, no, he doesn't care about the helmet. He doesn't care about the frostbite. None of it. I bet the
feet were staged. That picture's doctored.
Yeah, for sure is not real.
Yeah, cousin, business is a booming for AB.
You think a pro athlete would get to where he is and let something actually happen to his feet where his millions lie? No, not a chance.
Yeah, he said he like flew to France or Germany. Like, child, please, he didn't do any of that.
None of that's real.
We might see some, like, I mean, AB and Brady. Oh, that could be
two of the stone cold. I mean, Tom Brady could be the craziest person in the NFL.
he's like Tom Cruise as a football player.
Yeah. All right, that's a good way to end the podcast. Everyone, thank you for listening to the DRRG simulcast, Gilcast. Of course, check out all the cool stuff over on Roto Grinders. Check out all the cool stuff over on Daily Roto and Roto Experts. And we will be back next week, hopefully without make the first start of their career in our cash lineups. But I hope that you all run as pure this week as I did today.